Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast, a weekly inspiration infusion for women of color and hematology. Dear woman of color and hematology, Heme Consults is your personal space to rest, recharge, and renew your spirit with a weekly infusion of inspiration from hematologist Dr. Toyosi Onwemena. Every Sunday, Dr. Onwemena will remind you that you are a superstar and have everything you need to succeed in your incredible career as a hematologist. Welcome to the hematology sisterhood that will transform your world. Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast. I'm your host, Toyosi Onwemena, and it is such a pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am excited to bring you today's episode titled, Be Careful How You Hear. And it really is about the sound in your environment. I've done an episode like this probably about a year ago now, and I thought it was important to bring it back. So I'm talking about the sound in your environment, mastering the sound in your environment. And why am I bringing this episode to you today? Well, before I go into that, I almost forgot that I wanted to just share with you, a woman of color in hematology, that your sound is beautiful. You create beautiful sound, and your sound is more amplified, or it's amplified more when you are in harmony with other sounds around you. And so I want you to open your mouth wide and let your sound be heard. Let your voice be heard. Let your sound be heard in whatever way sound matters to you, in whatever way you create or produce sound, let it be heard. And what you'll find is, as you're letting your sound be heard, there'll be other people around you whose sound also comes forth, because they'll find out that their sound produces a harmony with yours. And your sound raised up allows other sounds to come up around you. So there's a beautiful harmony of voices that come together, but it doesn't exist unless you allow your voice to be heard, because your voice inspires other voices and the harmony is heard because you were courageous enough to let your voice be heard first. And so I want to encourage you, even though there's silence, and even though there's no one else around you who's speaking, and even though you may not feel as if you're invited to speak, or maybe your voice is not welcome, I just want you to ignore all of that, because the sound that is coming forth, that is going to be created as a result of the harmony that you're generating, it happens only because you show up and create sound. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. So going back to today's episode, I'm talking about being careful how you hear. So when I first started in my faculty career, and many of you have heard my story, I was told I wasn't qualified to lead research. And frankly, I didn't believe them when I first started, because I was like, what do you mean I'm not qualified? I was ignorant enough to not have any basis for believing what they said. But over time, I did start to believe it. I didn't have any funding. I didn't have any publications. I mean, I had a few, but apparently nowhere near where I was supposed to. And then I started going to all these forums where someone said, I just got my first K and I had 20 publications. And the other person's like, well, I just got my first K. I had a perfect score. And sometimes the more I heard these stories of how people were doing, the more it became clear that I wasn't qualified, or at least I accepted that I wasn't qualified. And what I realized is that the more I listened to people telling me how I fell short, the more short I felt. Huh. But I didn't realize that this was happening. I was just changing direction because a lot of the voices were telling me that I couldn't make it. I couldn't hack it. And over time, I began to realize that when I moved into certain spaces, if I'm going to be very specific, I met a woman named Dr. Betty Pace, who runs the Pride program at this time. And this is the Pride FTG program in Augusta, Georgia. And she was the first person I heard who told me very loudly and clearly, oh, you can totally do this. Well, absolutely. You were born for this. And that encouraged me. And all of a sudden, I started to hear a different sound and I started to produce something different. The sound I heard caused me to produce something different. And here I am, years later. Gosh, that was about 9 years ago now. And I lead a research program and I publish routinely and I submit grants and I'm successful. And that was a different story 10 years ago. Why do I share that right now? Why is this a story I keep sharing? Well, it says so many things to me. But today I want to speak about sound. I want to speak about the sound you hear. One of the things that we're not always aware of is the sound of our environment. Now, if you've ever heard the story of the two fish that were, you know, going one day and one fish says to another, "How's the water?" And the younger fish is like, what water? It's like when you are so entrenched in an environment that you actually can't tell that there is a substance in your environment. It's just so, it's so around you. You take it for granted. You don't even really realize it's an element of your environment. It's like the air we breathe. Like, you don't even really pay attention to it until it's smoky or smoggy. Then you're like, oh, there's bad, poor air quality. But as long as everything is fine, you may not notice it. And that's the same thing about the sound in our environment. And when I'm talking about the sound in our environment, I'm saying, who is speaking to you? Who's speaking around you? What are the sessions you're going to? What are people saying in those sessions? What are they saying about you? But maybe it's not even direct about you. What are they saying about people like you? What are they saying about whether people like you can succeed? What are they saying about what people like you do? And this is not just about race and ethnicity. It's very easy to go down that path. And there are a lot of examples there. But even about your age, what do people say about what people like you can do at your age? What do people say about whether you are too far now to start down a certain path? What are people saying that is part of the environment that you've just accepted as a given and you haven't questioned? That's what I want to emphasize in today's episode. So the first thing I want to share with you is that sound, the sound of your environment comes in many, many, many forms. And I want to just share some of those forms so that you can begin to recognize the sound of your environment. Now, I want to tell you that the default sound in your environment does not enhance or nourish you. I just want to say that, just put that out there. And the reason I want to say that, and I want to say that boldly, is because if you look at a garden and you just let the garden be, like you do nothing, you're like, oh, let's let nature take care of this garden. Do you know what you get? Yes, you get weeds. You get weeds. The outcome of nature by itself is weeds. Now, don't get me wrong. These could be beautiful weeds. They could be dandelions. But in your garden, your goal is not dandelions. And they may be beautiful yellow, but they're not what you want. And so the natural state of any environment is weeds. You leave it untended. You leave it unaddressed. You will grow weeds. They may be beautiful weeds, but they are still weeds. And most of us, when we think about gardens, when we think about something that's cultivated, we're not thinking about weeds. And I have to tell you, weeds can be beautiful. But when you're cultivating a garden, you're not cultivating weeds. If you let things be the way they are, what you get is usually what you don't want, because what grows naturally is not cultivated. Okay. So your default environment is likely an environment where weeds grow. Here's the problem with weeds. They can be as beautiful as you want them to be, but they will choke up what you are trying to grow. And I want to say that if you've not paid attention to the sound in your environment, you are likely living in an environment that's choking you. And I don't know your environment. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you come from. But if you live in an environment that's nurturing, it's because someone is cultivating that environment. And it may be you or maybe somebody else, but someone's cultivating it. If you are in an environment, you're like, I love this place. It's so awesome. It's so nurturing to me. Somebody is making it so. Somebody is making an investment that creates that. Now, many people are not in that environment. I feel like I didn't grow up in that environment. I am in such an environment now, but it wasn't that environment initially. I've cultivated such an environment. And so I just want to say that the default structures, unless somebody is intervening in a different direction, is for sound that does not enhance you. It's for sound that chokes you up. So what is the sound? Well, first of all, it's the sound of what you hear about what you can and cannot do. Some of these sounds seem like legitimate sounds. They come in the form of policy. Clinicians don't do research. It's a policy. Clinicians have to source 90% of their funding to be successful in doing research. And you come in without 90% funding. Therefore, oops, you are not qualified to lead research, right? The sound of legalese, the sound of policy, the sound of this is the way we do things here that set limits on you. Now, policy is good. I recommend policy. I recommend people sit down and, you know, talk about how they want things to go. That's part of cultivating the environment. One of the challenges of policy is that policy is created for people, not people for policy. But we get to places where we're just like, no, policy is God. Policy is king. And we don't think outside the box of the policy. Whenever somebody comes in and their situation doesn't match policy, you don't force them into policy. You see, well, how does the policy better serve this person? Because policy is about making our environments conducive to growth and thriving. But if ever a policy becomes threatening to somebody's growth, then you address the policy, not the person. We've gotten that wrong in our environments. And I'm not really here to judge the environment. I'm just saying that this is what happens with the sound of policy. It looks legit. It's wrapped up in legalese. It looks like official. Everybody abides by it. It looks like truth because it's so ubiquitous. It's so quoted. It's written in stone, so to speak. But it's still just a sound, and you have to decide what to do with the sound. Okay, I'm just here talking about sound right now. Talk about what to do with sound later, but right now I'm just talking about the different kinds of sound. So number one, is the sound of policy or the sound of law, the sound of the way we've always done it here, the sound of the way this department works, the sound of the way the division works. It's a set of rules entrenched in some way, in culture, in lore, in paper, on paper, it's entrenched as part of the culture of your environment. It's the sound of the legalese. Okay. Another kind of sound is the sound of discouragement. Now, that's a little bit more easy to note. Sometimes it's not overwhelming discouragement. It's just, hey, this is the way you should do it because you're not really strong here. Yeah, this is not really your strength. For example, I heard someone give a talk right now, just a few days ago. And one of the things they said is that someone came up to them and said, you know, this lab stuff is not your strong suit. And I'm not saying that it is his strong suit or not his strong suit, but somebody came and said, it's not your strong suit. And he said, I agree with you. Here's the challenge with this voice of discouragement. Sometimes it is objective. You're not very good. But the reason you're not very good is not because you're not going to become good. It's because you haven't practiced enough to become good. Yeah, you're not an Olympic swimmer when you first jump in the pool and someone can come up to you and say, hey, you're not very good at this swimming thing. And it's true, you're not. But give me 7 days a week in the pool at 30 minutes a day for the next 3 years, and then ask me at the end of that 3-year period whether I'm good or not. Do you see what I'm saying? The voice of discouragement, the sound of discouragement sometimes catches you at the beginning of your skill building. And if you're a clinician trying to lead research, or if you are doing anything at all, maybe you're trying to become an educator, maybe you're just in your early in your journey of becoming a physician, you suck. And it's okay that you suck because, hey, this is why you came, to build skill. But the voice, the sound of discouragement looks like the sound of reason. It's like, hey, you suck. And it's like, thank you so much. But this is a little bit premature. Tell me 3 years later, 3 years after I've invested the kind of investment that creates what I'm trying to create, tell me if I suck then. But today, when I'm just starting, when I'm new and I've not even had a chance to do this yet, don't tell me I suck. It's not what you're supposed to tell me. That's the sound I'm talking about. It's the sound of objectivity. It's the sound of evaluation. It's the sound of judgment. And it is a very objective sound, but it is a damaging sound. And the reason it's damaging, it's like when you see a baby and they start to try to walk for the first time and then they fall and you're like, you suck at walking. Okay, not appropriate. Of course the baby sucks. They haven't had time to really learn to walk. Do you see the sound I'm talking about? It's a sound of objectivity. It's a sound of wisdom. I've been doing this for a long time. I know a prodigy when I see one. Well, you can't be a prodigy until you practice being prodigious, right? This is not the way it works. You can't be an Olympic swimmer until you've put in Olympic style investments to become an Olympic style swimmer. Okay. The sound of objectivity, which is a sound that's legitimate, but you have to pay attention to that sound. I'll talk about one more sound. The other sound is the sound of you, the sound inside your head. Again, I told you that if you don't cultivate something, what you get is weeds. I learned this from my mentor, Dr. Una. You get weeds. And if your mind has not been cultivated, your mind is full of weeds. Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not saying bad things about you. Not even trying to, you know, I'm not trying to say something bad. I'm just saying that an uncultivated mind is a mind that's full of weeds. And what am I talking about? The weeds of, you don't know what you're doing. You're an imposter. Why are you here? Someone's going to spot you. Look at you. Look at the way you do things. And this is not somebody else being mean to you. Because if they were being mean to you, you might silence them. But it's your own head. The sound is inside your own head. It's pulling you down. It's tearing you down. It's telling you you're not enough. It's telling you no matter what you do, you're never going to be enough. No matter what you do, it's like never, never appropriate. It's the sound of the voice in your own head. Okay. So when we talk about all these forms of sound, I've talked about the sound of policy. I've talked about the sound of objectivity. And now I'm talking about the sound in your own head. Now you can already imagine how you deliver yourself from all these other sounds that are pulling you down. How do you deliver yourself from the sound inside your own head? Okay, we'll talk about that. But I do want you to recognize that there was sound all around you. Even when you're like, great, I'm in a room by myself. There's nobody here. There's a sound in your head that's affecting the way you show up. Number one, sound comes in many forms. And I hope from this, what I've given you, you recognize that there's a broad range of sound that's coming at you that you need to learn to manage. That's number one. Sound is all around you, even when you're by yourself. Number two is that whether you like it or accept it or not, you are affected by the sound you hear. You are affected by the sound you hear. I want to say that again. You are affected by the sound you hear. Have you ever been to a concert where like the bass is so loud, it is literally vibrating things in your environment? Like, you know, it's like boom, 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 and you're shaking. You can feel the sound vibrations of this big sound. You know, it's so huge. Like, I've been there. It's like my heart is like leaping. It's like, whoa, the sound is loud. You will always be affected by the sound in your environment. There are two kinds of ways you'll be affected by the sound in your environment. Number one is a physical affectation, right? It's a physical effect. It's that the sound is so loud, you can feel the vibrations of the sound. Now, that usually is when the sound is overpowering. For example, someone who's really toxic in your environment who loses their cool and they start yelling. I've had that kind of sound in my environment. That sound can physically affect you. I want to tell you that that sound is rare. I mean, in academic medicine, it may feel a little bit ubiquitous, but that sound is relatively rare. What is more common and probably most damaging is the quiet sound, the sound that persists, the sound that comes again and again and again, the sound that keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again until you believe it's true. That is the more imperceptible but more dangerous sound. Because you're not even really paying attention, but all the while it's feeding into your subconscious. It's telling you who you are. You are affected by the sound you hear, especially when you're not paying attention. I just want to make it as explicit as possible to say, if you have not paid attention to the sound of your environment, if you have not mastered and cultivated the sound of your environment, you are under the influence of sound. Yes, you are driving while intoxicated with the sound of your environment. That's exactly what's happening. And I say all that to tell you the good news. And what is the good news? You are in charge of the sound of your environment. Okay, you are in charge of the sound. You are absolutely in charge. And how do you take charge of the sound of your environment? Well, you first of all gotta say, well, what sound is there in this environment? You gotta pay attention to the sound. Number one, what is the sound? And I have to say that if you're gonna ask yourself, where do I put in the most work? The first sound you need to ask about is the sound in your mind, the sound in your head. What are you saying to yourself? And if you haven't done the work, what you're hearing in your head is the voice of condemnation. It's the voice of judgment. It's the voice of belittling you. It is not a kind voice. And I just want to say it is not your voice. It is not your voice. The way you recognize the voice that belongs to you is that it is kind and it is nurturing and it creates space for you to fail and make mistakes without tearing you down. Any sound you hear that doesn't give space for you to be human is not a sound that you want to entertain. I'm going to say cast out that sound. Okay, I know I'm being dramatic here, but this is important. If you're going to thrive, now here's the thing. You've been under the influence of sound for so long, and somehow you've made it, but not in a healthy way. Because you look, and there's stuff that needs to change in your life. You know, you're not perfect. I'm glad you're not, because I'm not either. But you know that change needs to come to you, to your life. And part of this change starts with the sound. And part of it comes with paying attention to the sound, because you're in charge of the sound. Remember, we're talking about you being in charge of the sound. When you pay attention to the sound of the voice in your head and you recognize it to be tearing you down, you say no. You literally say no. No, I don't accept the sound. How do I do it for myself? Well, I'll tell you that the book I read that really changed my life, really changed my experience in this way was a book by Shahrzad Shamin. It's called Positive Intelligence. It's what it's called. I forgot it, but he talks about peak your reps. You should read the book. It's Positive Intelligence. And he talks about this judge in our heads that's always bringing us down and tearing us down. And if you've ever done his program, he has a program that goes with it. You get a lot of practice recognizing these sounds of negativity and taking control of them and saying, no, I let you go. No. It literally is saying no to yourself, no to thoughts that don't build you. But I dwell on the thoughts in your head because many times we're focused on our environment. We're focused on the mentor that's yelling at us. We're focused on the mentor that's treating us poorly. We're focused on the policies that seem designed to bring us down. And those are all problematic. And I will say those all need to be addressed. Absolutely. You need to create an environment that's soundproof where you only let sounds come in that are sounds that you want or sounds that encourage and uplift and help you. But after you've locked out all of that sound, there's still one sound that remains, and that's the sound of you. And that's why I'm dwelling on it a lot, because the sound of you is a sound that only you can address. Now, there are different strategies to use to address it. Number one, you can meditate on the right sound so that when you're trying to spot counterfeit money, you don't spend time focused on the counterfeit. You spend time focused on the truth so that when something comes that's counterfeit, you can recognize it. It's exactly what you do. You create an environment for yourself where you meditate on truth. Meditate on truth. And what is truth? That you are capable, that everything you need, you already have inside of you, or you have access to. The truth is that there is abundance. The truth is that you are exactly who you need to be. The truth is that you are capable of becoming so much more. The truth is positive. And so if you're going to create a new sound in your head, the most important sound that you hear, you have to begin to feed yourself different sounds. And if you're going to really make a difference, you're going to feed yourself sounds that are focused on truth so that when sound comes that's not truth-based, you can recognize it. You can take charge of the sound. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to pay attention to the sound. You're going to learn to recognize sound that is off-base. You're going to create a constant flow of true sound so that when false sound comes, when lies come, you can identify it and you can pull it down. Take charge of the sound, because if you don't, nobody else will. Maybe once upon a time, your mother controlled the sound in your life. Maybe it was your parents or some significant parent figure in your life. But now it's you. You might be lucky. You have a great mentor who is always supplying beautiful sound, but many of us are not lucky like that. Sometimes we have mentors who are sowing sounds that make us doubt ourselves. Okay, they exist. But what are you going to do about your sound? You're in charge of the sound. Don't blame your mentor. And that was me. Me angry at my mentor saying, I wish you didn't do this. And it's like, okay, people are people. Let them go. Create your own sound. Listen to your own sound. Make sound. Create it. Consume it so that you change the sound of your environment. You're in charge. Take charge. And so what am I calling you to today? I'm calling you to ask the question, what sounds have you been hearing? Yes, the sounds of your environment, but most especially the sounds of your own head, the sounds of your own mind. What sounds have you been hearing? Second thing I want you to consider is, what sound do you need? What do you need to produce? And what kind of sound will get you there? If you are struggling to master writing, you are struggling. And objectively, you may look like you suck. But what sounds do you need to be able to put in the kind of investment that 3 years from now, investment after investment after investment, you're going to create the kind of writing that you want to? What sound do you need to hear to get there? So answer the question, what sound do you need? Where are you today? What sound do you need to get you to where you're going? What sound do you need to survive today? What sound do you need to thrive? And then I invite you to number three, to go out and create that sound. No, don't say your mentor is not creating it for you. No, don't say the environment is not supporting you in creating this sound. Don't. Mm-mm. Don't. You take responsibility. You own your responsibility. You create the sound you need. You're more than capable. You're absolutely capable. I invite you, woman of color in hematology, and everyone who's listening to me, it is time to take charge of your sound. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start today. Every small step counts. And as you're taking small steps every day, in 3 years, it's going to be significant. It may not feel like much, very, very much right now. Take control of your sound. I want to just put a plug in for one of my other podcasts. I have a podcast called 365 Days of Meditation and Scripture, and it's one scripture every day. And yes, it's for those of you who may or may not have any faith background. It is based on the Judeo-Christian scriptures. And so, yes, the 66 books that make up the standard Bible, those are the things that I put in my meditation. But I want to say that you should listen. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I have three. But I invite you to listen to it. Again, that's 365 Days of Meditation and Scripture. If you Google my name, or if you look in your favorite podcast engine and you find my name, you'll find that meditation podcast. And it's one of the ways I establish truth in my environment, is listening to truth on a daily basis so that I recognize lies when they come. And maybe my podcast is not for you. You're like, nope, nope, I don't do that Judeo-Christian scripture thing. It's okay. What do you do? What do you do to enhance the sound in your life to where your life becomes focused and trained on truth? The sound you hear is focused on truth. I want to say that whatever you need to create for yourself, to have an atmosphere where the sound builds you, doesn't tear you down, that's what I'm inviting you to do. How do you change the sound of your environment this week? I want you to take one thing that's different, that's in your environment, one sound, change it, do something about it. Start to take charge of the sound of your environment today. I want to say it's been such a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for staying with me till the end. I look forward to talking with you again next time on the Heme Consults podcast. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.